stewardship. I know when it comes to the word stewardship, so many people have different notion, different understanding of what stewardship is all about. But in the past 4 years, as I go around, there's just one common denominator that a lot of people would still think of stewardship. That is just all about money. But we know that from especially last year, when we have studied on stewardship for one whole quarter, that we know it's all about what? The life that we all have. All aspect of our life is part of us being a steward of God. It's not just about our pocket, but it's about how we live our lives for the kingdom of God. Because there's no stewardship without an owner, a creator, and us being what? His creation and stewards or being managers of whatever God have made and have created in this world. So to think more about that, we would be looking at stewardship as, there are some truths about stewardship which I would like to briefly bring to your attention here, understanding that stewardship is a spiritual affair. And whatever happens in our life, the next slide, section of the slide, whatever happens in our life, we are all dealing here with our spiritual journey with God. Also, understanding that stewardship is a matter of the heart. It is where your heart is. Because whatever we prioritize in our life, that talks about what we love to do and where we want our hearts and our minds to put on. So I always remember a story, you know, when I don't want to be a minister when I was, you know, of young age. I want to be a medical doctor. And so I enrolled into a subject called anatomy and physiology. And we were so shocked when one of our professors said to us right there in our class, and saying to the girls in the class, "Girls, if this boy say to you, 'I love you from the bottom of my heart,' don't believe them. You know, they're lying. They, you know, they're not truthful with that." And we were looking at the teacher and our professor, you know, just staring at him, saying, "Sir, why are you saying that? There's loads of men here." But he said, "But let me make you understand that when a person says, 'I love you from the bottom of my heart,' it's actually, they're actually saying, 'I love you from my hypothalamus.'" You know, right here from the brain, a small part of the brain which makes those emotions, those loves, and decisions even. So when we say it's where your heart is, it is actually what our mind and heart, according to the scripture, the Bible uses it interchangeably, it is what our mind is saying to us, telling us to do. And so, or that is what our passion is. So stewardship is where we put our hearts on. But not only that, we know that stewardship is all about relationship. The next slide. Because there's no, as I've said a while ago, there's no stewardship without an owner and without a steward, without a manager. That's what stewardship is all about. And so this connection with God, who is the owner of everything, according to Psalm 24, verse 1, is the very thing that moves us to do something, not only for ourselves, but also for other people. Because I love this definition of stewardship by Elder Harold Lee, wherein he said, "Stewardship is the wise and unselfish use of life." So it's all about this life that we have, how we use it unselfishly. And in relationship, we could not be selfish, isn't it? We always want to what? Do and please and connect with the other person, with God. And so that is what stewardship is all about. But more so, it's not only about relationship. It is also about, the next slide, it says, it also is about worship. Because stewardship is something that we do in response to what God has done into our lives. Not only that He had created and had made us, He made everything for us, but He also saved us, didn't He? And so with that thing, with that experience with God, we give back to Him. So whatever we do from the time we open our eyes in the morning, whatever we do with our lives, that is stewardship. That is an act of worship for the Lord God. It's not only a week-to-week or just in the morning and the evening thing that we do worship. It is every minute of our life we are called to be stewards. Because we are here knowing that stewardship is all about mission. Probably if there's something, if there's a part of stewardship that probably would deal about money, tithes, and offerings, it is here on this part, knowing that being God's steward, we have a mission. God have called us for a greater purpose to extend His kingdom. And through this, not only by us going into a mission trip or doing outreach, but also through God's blessing to us, we could also bless those whom we could not reach. And so it could probably just this. But with the previous church, I used to pastor, since a lot of them comes from abroad, I would always say to them that, do you know why you are here in London? And I would always emphasize with them that being here is not simply because we want to work and send money back home. No. But we are here because God have called us to also be an instrument of the kingdom of God for us to be able to influence the people around us. And so it's something that we have to understand that when it comes to stewardship, it's all about mission. That is why we are living our lives here in this world, so that people would get to know God and would be able to serve Jesus Christ. Because at the end of it, stewardship is all about being a disciple of God. So discipleship, the next slide, and stewardship are two synonymous words. Words that can help us to understand the greater reason why we are here today and living our lives. Next slide, please. And that's why, as I've said to you, stewardship is the wise and unselfish use of life. Next slide. And going back to the main text that we have, now seeing that stewardship is much bigger, probably wider in its perspective and in its understanding than what some of us may think of it, then the question would arise and say, how could I actually all those things in my life? How could I be an influence to other people on a daily basis? And how can I affect my life and influence my very next door neighbor? And God said in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27, there's only one answer that we could have. And that is for us as God's people to allow God to do that daily operation in our heart. Because unless we allow God to do that daily operation in our heart, as human beings, we will continue to be what? To be selfish. We will just continue to be focused on what we want, rather want what God wants for us to do so that other people can be blessed as He desires for us to be blessed in our lives. And that's why in this text, He said that I will give you what? A new heart. And I will give you a new spirit within you. And He said, I will take that heart of stone, that hard-headed mind and heart that is only, there, always thinking of what would please us, rather than what would please God. And He said, then, after I've taken that heart of stone off your flesh, then I will give you a soft heart ready enough to receive the very purpose, the very will, the very word that God has for us. But more than that, He promised that He's going to give us His very own spirit. Because it is only the Spirit of God that will help us to do and be able to put into practice what the Word of God tells us to do. Next slide. And that's why probably the question that we could all reflect on a daily basis is this. How can I live, or how can we live a life that counts? How can we live a life that would make a mark in the lives of other people? How can we live a life wherein, I think that's one of the questions that we have, is it this week or next, last week in our lesson? How can we live, I think it's on Monday, in the life of Dorcas. If we pass away, would the people around us recognize the very things that we have done for the community? Or would they be, joyful enough and praising that we're gone? The power of God would always and can only be manifested through the lives of His believers, His disciples. And as stewards of God, we have this divine responsibility to show other people that we are here because we are being chosen by God and we've been sent by God for a special purpose. Next slide, please. Oh, this couple, just for illustration's sake, in the previous place where I live, I've got this neighbor who would always go to her allotment no matter what the season is. And I was so shocked, coming from the Philippines, where we also have four seasons. We have wet, very wet, dry, and very dry. Those are the only seasons that we have. But here we have spring, summer, fall, and winter. And I saw my neighbor going to the allotment on winter. I said, what in the world would she be doing in her allotment on winter? So I approached her one day, taking courage to ask a very foolish question. I asked her, what would you do in your allotment on winter time? And she said to me, Todd, you know what? There's something. And it really struck me after she said this to me. She said to me, Todd, I go to my allotment every day because I don't just think of the weather now or tomorrow, but I always think of the harvest time. She said, because I know when harvest time comes, and I bring all those fruits and vegetables from my allotment into our table, I know that my kids and my grandchildren would have the best food, the best of foods that they can have, because I make sure that it is the best fruits that they could have in their life. I know, she said to me, that I am making an impact in their lives. I said to myself, if only every Adventist, every Christian would have this kind of mentality that whatever we do now, we are not just thinking of the now, but we are thinking of the day when the harvest time comes, of who would be there with us, coming with the Lord Jesus Christ in the clouds of glory. Would our children be there? Would our neighbors be there? Would our friends be there? Would our colleagues at work be there? And so, being God's stewards, next slide, please. Being God's stewards, we have this divine responsibility. But so many times, we are almost like this rich young ruler, wherein he wants to have an eternal life. Remember the question that he had for Jesus in Mark chapter 10? What must I do to inherit eternal life? Right? We all are seeking for eternal life. But so many times we are just like him. I would say we are like him in so many ways. We are rich, we are young, and we are rulers. Do you agree with me? Probably some of you would not fully agree with me. But yes, he's rich. The Bible tells us that he's rich. And we are rich. Amen? Amen. We are all rich in our own ways. I always say this, that as research tells us that if you have food to eat at least 2-3 times a day, you have clothes to wear, and you have a roof to cover your head at night to sleep, be warm, you belong to the 25% of the world's richest population. Because the 10p that we have here would mean a lot in some other parts of the world. So we are rich just like this man. We are young. Rich, young, okay. I know we're all aging, Keep it young. We are all young at heart. We're all young. 20 years ago, it's my 20th year here in England today, when I first came to England. 20 years ago, 1999, you know, I still have my all my hair here. Now it's showing, right? So I know I'm aging, but I still feel young up to this moment. And every one of us, you know, we could say we may be, you know, mature in our age, but the things that we do are still, you know, very youthful. I've got my aunt, you know, I've just visited her in the States 2 weeks ago. She's, what, I think she's 74, but she's still working. Still active. She's working at the General Conference office. And I said, Auntie, are you not going to retire? And she said to me something that my mom would always tell me as well. She said, there's no retirement in the work of the Lord. I said, wow. If only we could, you know, we could go do that. But the thing is, yeah, we're rich, we're young, just like this rich young ruler. We're a ruler, right? We're all rulers in our family, in our workplaces, and we all have skills. We are all gifted in different ways. And those skills, no one else have done. So, you must be a ruler, a head, a leader on that. So, just like this man, next slide, please. Probably, I think, two, three. Yeah. We have talents like him, next slide. We have time like him, we're still young. Next slide, we have treasure like him. But the question that he got is, next slide. What must I do to inherit eternal life? We all asked that question as well. So, next slide, please. But after asking that question and he that had that discussion with Jesus Christ, Jesus came back with these words to this young man. He said, one thing you lack. Go and sell everything you have and give it to the poor. And you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. But this man, according to the scripture, walked away with a long face, right? He walked away sorrowful, even though he knows that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Next slide. Even though he knows that Jesus have come, that we may have life, next slide, and have it more abundantly. He still walked away. Why? Because the Bible says he has great wealth. I think we have a counsel from our lesson today, from James. That we should not be what? Putting so much focus on those things because those will eventually go away. It will rot, it will rust. But the thing that really struck me from that text in Mark chapter 10 is why would he go away and what is that one thing that he lacks? Why would he not have that one thing where he got almost everything? Next slide, please. Well, for us probably to understand what is that one thing, I want us to look at the story of this other man. All right? In Luke chapter 19. Yeah? Luke chapter 19, we know that who that young man is, right? Or that old man. It's, well, I love him so much. Probably if I would stand next to him, we got the same height. So, I love him so much because I could compare things with the first man, with the rich young ruler, and with Zacchaeus. Upon hearing Jesus, they all both want to see Jesus. The difference, one went to Jesus straight, Zacchaeus went away so that he could find a tree. Right? Both have a dialogue with Jesus. But the difference is, when they first encountered the rich young ruler, he knelt down before Jesus Christ. He looked up Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ looked down at him. With Zacchaeus, as Jesus passed by where the tree was, Jesus looked up at Zacchaeus, and while Zacchaeus was looking down at him, and Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down. I want to go to your house. But what we know from Luke chapter 19 is, after those moments, that moment with Jesus Christ, Zacchaeus stood up in Luke chapter 19, verse 8. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I will restore it fourfold. Have you noticed the difference between the reaction of these two persons? The one who have everything, or both of them are rich, I would say, they both have everything. They're both seeking for eternal life. But with Zacchaeus, who have encountered with, you know, Jesus right there in his own home, He was able to without being asked by Jesus Christ, he was able to stand up and say, Lord, I'm going to give half of my goods to the very people whom the first man doesn't want to give any of his goods, to the poor. And then he said, but if I have cheated anyone, then I will give it back fourfold. I'm not so good in math, Pastor Alan. You know? But I'm just thinking about it over and over again. If he has given half already, and he's going to give fourfold to everyone that he had cheated, which according to the text, as soon as Jesus said to him, I'm going to your house, almost everyone in the crowd said, why is he going to go there when he's a sinner, he's a cheater, he's a cheat. Why would he go there? So he must have cheated a lot. If he's going to get that to the second half of his goods, what's going to be left with him? I'm just thinking nothing, right? But he was able to say and do that just because of that special moment with God. That he recognized that in his life, if he will just put all his trust in Jesus Christ, he would never worry of anything. Which the first man have forgotten, that if he will follow Jesus Christ, he should never worry of his very own life because everything is in the hands of God. Trusting relationship with God is what we needed. The one thing that the rich young ruler may have lacked. He have lost track of who Jesus was. That he trusted in himself, he trusted in his wealth, he trusted in his might, that he had forgotten that he could fully trust God. Church, if we will put God first in our life, we need to put that trust in God alone. And I believe we could only be faithful and true stewards of God if that trusting relationship is present between us and our Creator, who is the provider of everything. Who is the provider of everything? Today, I would like to leave you with this message. You also have in your hands this God first promise card. I'm not going to ask you to fill it or take it today. But it's something that I want you to bring home. And ask yourselves, Lord, I want to trust you fully in my life. I want to put you first in my life. And the General Conference Stewardship Department have put together this card that it would always start with having that special or setting apart a special moment with God on a daily basis that will help us to understand what God's will is for our lives. It would also take us to improve our relationships, for us to establish new healthy habit, for us to offer one day for the Lord Jesus Christ, for us to be able to keep the Sabbath, which is the basis of why we are here today, so that we could bring back people to the worship of the one true Creator. And after that, then, of course, we could be part of God's mission by faithfully returning our tithes and giving our offering, committing offering to Him. I know it's hard on a daily basis for us to think of what can I do or what should I do for my life, for my family, for the church, for the mission of God. But just like Zacchaeus, may it be that we would have that passion that as we have experienced Jesus Christ on a daily basis, no one else should be saying to us, do this and do that for the kingdom of God, but we ourselves will be approaching Jesus and saying, Jesus, what you have done in my life is enough for me to do what you wishes me to do for those people who are in need. And if whatever you needed, whatever you have given me in the past is needed for me to help bring out, you know, to fruition what your plans are for my life, then may it be, O Lord. I would like to call each one of us here to put God first in our life. The Bible says, seek you first the kingdom of God. And all these things, it's not some of these things, but all of these things will be added unto us. We may have our own challenges in life, but when we put God first, we know what God can do for us. And so, may this simple message of allowing God to be first and allowing God to always do that heart operation within us on a daily basis, to take whatever, you know, is in our heart today that is missing, that make us miss His full plan for our lives. May we be always be ready to allow Him. You know, just like in any hospital, before a heart, before any operation, there needs to be a what? A consent, isn't it? Let's give consent to the Spirit of God to work in our hearts and our lives on a daily basis. Because by doing so, we know God would always be praised, will be worshipped, will be honored by the life that we all have. May God, the Lord bless us all, and may it be that as we leave this place today, we would think of how we could continue to commit our lives to the Lord Jesus as we are all waiting for His soon return. May God bless us all.
That only You can change us, and only You can help us to live our lives according to Your will, according to Your plans. So help us, O God, today, as we live our day-to-day, our lives on a day-to-day basis, that we keep on believing in You, putting our trust in You, O Lord, and allowing You to be first in everything in our lives. Bless this church, O Lord, with Your love, with Your grace, so that we'll be able to do amazing things for Your kingdom. And through the presence of Your Holy Spirit, we can depart this place knowing that Your presence would always go with us. For this we all ask in the loving of Jesus. Amen.